Hey guys, it's GPD. It's day two of E3. It's Wednesday evening, and I'm here, of course, with Thorbon.
Hey.
And Shipwreck.
We did it. E3's over.
No, it's not. Today's over. Mostly. Well, we had a very busy day today. Shipwreck and I had no less than 12 appointments today, I believe.
That's right, I think. Somewhere, it was around 12. We either had 12 or 13.
Whoa, jeez. Thorbon had a more casual day.
Yeah.
So who's going to go first? Why don't we go first?
We'll go first for a little while.
Okay.
The first thing we saw...
Lean forward, Chip. Get on mic.
I am on mic now. The first thing we saw, we went and saw V Rally 4, which the V Rally series was... actually a really good series back on PlayStation 1, and then PlayStation 2 had one game, I think. I know I played the PlayStation 1 games, and they were good.
Mm-hmm.
So they're bringing that back for the fourth installation after...
many, many years.
After many, many years. And it was... I had fun with it.
It was pretty cool. They have... it's not just like your standard rally game. It has a lot of different modes, including the Extreme Kana?
It was, yeah. Extreme.
What's the one where you, it's Ken Block does it and he like drifts around obstacles and it's like, it's basically like a driving puzzle in a way that it reminded me of Trials. Like you're going through these really tight turns and narrow roads.
The level that we played was like around a parking garage type of thing where they had set up, there was cones and
but it was
obstacles.
Really tight. Everything
really
was
tight.
Really
you're
tight.
You're supposed to be drifting around. You're doing jumps
right
through it.
You could tell it would be cool to watch somebody who was actually skilled at it because it wasn't us. But it was fun, and they have a bunch of other modes like...
yeah, more standard modes. V-Rally, Rally Cross.
Hill Climb.
Hill Climb and Buggy.
All your favorites, Thorbon. Hill Climb.
Yeah.
Hill Climb.
I'm such a huge...
you love climbing hills.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't play racing games. Really.
I was surprised. It was pretty decent.
Then we saw Overkill's The Walking Dead.
Yes. Played it.
We did. We both saw it and played it. It's Left 4 Dead.
It's Left 4 Dead with more stuff going
with
on.
With more stuff going on, yeah.
Is anybody from the comic or the series in it, or is it just random people?
My guess is that it's random people, but we...
you
I don't
played
think
as someone named Heather? I played as Maya?
Is there an Asian woman named...
No.
There's no Asians?
No.
Wow, that was a quick no.
There's one Asian, and he got a baseball to the head, but baseball bat
I knew he
to the
died
head.
In a bad way.
Okay. And,
Glenn, yes.
So no, then. But it was pretty fun. I felt like...
it takes place in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
So...
and no, really?
Yeah.
No.
Because
the comic book and the TV series take place in Washington, D.C., so...
I don't know. For people who are just cursory people around Walking Dead, like GP and I are...
or fans of zombies, like,
right,
it won't matter.
It's zombies. There might be references in there. We would not know that. But you have different character classes... You can spec out your character, take different tools in there. There's slight crafting. There's it's four-player co-op where you're trying to get through the town, and there's both zombie enemies and human enemies. It was fun. We didn't make it all the way through.
Yeah.
I know that, but...
I felt like it was a little rough still. Like, the frame rate was not as smooth as a lot of the other games we've been playing. I felt like I saw the potential in its visuals. Like it wasn't a bad looking game. It just may not have been polished to its release point yet.
Correct. I think it needed some more polish, definitely there. But
I had fun playing it.
The concept of Left 4 Dead is still good.
Yep.
And this is basically that same concept.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Then we saw Control, Remedy's new game.
Mm-hmm.
And that is great, I think.
You like the Alan Wake games, right, Thor? Or no?
Yeah, I liked Alan Wake 1.
The first one. Okay, so yeah. This is from these guys.
Yes.
They also did Max Payne 1.
And 2.
and two. There we go.
They've been making this style of game for a while here.
Yep. And it's like PsyOps. This is like PsyOps.
It's like PsyOps, which is another one of my favorite games. So,
but with the style and like sort of creepiness of Alan Wake and the abstract.
It's got some Quantum Break in there too, their last game.
Yeah. But you know how like Alan Wake, you'd be playing it, then some abstract stuff would happen. You're not really where...
You're kind of uncomfortable the whole... Like, you're not quite sure what's going to happen next to screw with you.
It had those vibes.
And the whole thing is taking place in a single building that is changing as you go along. And it also has Metroid-type stuff in it as far as you're gaining powers to be able to get to different areas.
Yeah. It's like a monster building in that, like, it's... There's different areas, and they're like, but it's not like, you know, you seem to get like warped. Like, it's hard to follow what was going on, like in an Alan Wake situation.
Yeah, like it was like she was pulling on a light chain to turn on a light on and off, and then like she did it like three times, and all of a sudden,
the hallway
just changed completely in front of her.
She's in like a motel, right? Like
right. Yeah. So, I am interested in that game.
Yeah.
I thought it looked really, really good. We didn't get to play it. No. Like, I think it's...
Good spooky music, too.
Yeah.
Mm.
And then we checked out Underworld Ascent. That is a first-person fantasy... I don't think it's an RPG. It's kind of an RPG. It has some RPG elements. But you're going through dungeons, and you're trying to mess around with the environment, be as creative as possible to get through dungeons and
avoid the monsters, and kill the monsters, and solve the whatever the objective is.
Yeah, it was to get an orb, a memory orb or something. Was the
objective. It's basically like you're solving a puzzle in a first person fantasy game, right? I mean,
yeah, it's got all this. Like, if you were to think of Skyrim, it's got all of the same. Like, if you're in a dungeon in Skyrim, it's got the skeleton guys walking around. It might have some wizards. It's got the spinny blade traps and the spikes and all your standard dungeon things.
This is the Warren Spector game, right?
This is the Warren Spector
game. Okay, I saw it at PAX South. Okay.
Yeah.
It seemed unique in a way.
Yeah, you can tell it's a small team making it because things were all reacting, but it wasn't exactly like to the animation standards.
Right. Of, I think like 14 guys.
Yeah,
said, right?
Yeah. But you could tell that interesting things could happen, and they had thought out the level to where you could solve it in multiple ways and everything. So, it was interesting. We'll see how the final product is.
Okay. Thor, you want to tell us anything that you saw?
Well, Rocco really wanted to see Resident Evil 2, and I'm like, yeah, I really want to see that too. Let's go do that the first thing, so then we're not there.
Beat the lines, right?
Yeah. So we stood in line for an hour and a half.
What?
What time did you get there?
Oh, that beat the line?
Yeah.
Well, what time did you get there, though?
5 minutes after it opened. Fuck. And then after that, the line was like 4 hours, 5 hours for people.
Oh, my God.
But it was worth it. Okay. They give you a flashlight and you open a door and you go through a haunted house. You go through the Raccoon City police station and there are people.
You're talking about like in real life.
In real life, yeah.
They handed you a flashlight.
Yep.
Okay.
Was that your gift or did you hand back the flashlight at the end?
No, you handed it back. All right. So.
Too bad. Too bad. That would be cool. That'd be actually a great idea for a Resident Evil giveaway.
Yeah. So they give you the flashlight and you. Look, you're going through these corners and stuff. It's like a little haunted house.
Oh, that's right up your alley. You must have loved it.
Yeah. With actors and our RPD his costumes and everything, and that was cool. And then you come out, and they're like, all right, play Resident Evil 2. I'm like, okay. And you start out in the police station, and that's like an iconic area of Resident Evil 2. And It's still Resident Evil 2, but it's Resident Evil 4 controls. The combat knife, you hold LB to swing and you aim your bullets. And it's a lot spookier because just like when you're in the haunted house with a flashlight, they just turn off the lights in certain areas. So you have a flashlight now and you're just like, whoa, what's going on?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's a little bit Resident Evil 4-like as well,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
there was
yeah.
stuff like that in there.
Yeah, so... you're walking around and like you find the clues and stuff, but man, it's really good and the acting is good in it too. So like old.
Did they update the dialogue?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Like they rewrote it, or they re-recorded? Well, they probably re-recorded it.
They re-recorded it.
And okay. Because like, the dialogue is
written a little weird.
It's a little bit
ham-fisted.
Off. It's from
Lost in Translation.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a different era.
Sure. Of course.
Where writing wasn't where it is now. Yeah. Right. Video games.
Cool.
But yeah, it was really good. A lot of cool mechanics and things. It's the same. It's the same old game, but with Resident Evil 4 overlay.
Perfect.
And it looks amazing, so it was worth, like, you know, I was standing in line with Frank and Rocco, so it was, you know,
they're fun guys.
Yeah, so they're fun guys to talk to for an hour and a half.
And so. Plus, you have like a little amusement park experience.
Yeah,
when
you
got the end,
yeah.
So it's, and you could wait.
And then they give you a T-shirt, so I got a free T-shirt.
There you go.
And no flashlight.
Yeah.
Next year, maybe they'll hear this and they'll come up with that.
So what'd you say?
We went to Good Shepherd's event that was across from E3.
Mm-hmm.
That if you don't know what Good Shepherd is, it's
an, I don't.
It's, okay. It's an
Nobody
indie.
Does, probably.
It's an indie publisher that is connected to Devolver.
Correct. It's like a division.
It's
of
like
Devolver.
It's like a sister company to Devolver.
Why?
Right. I don't know. Nobody knows.
I think that they're maybe these games weren't typical Devolver games, really?
Really?
At least the first one we saw, Semblance, is not one that I would... Typical, like, Devolver type thing.
No shooting.
No shooting. It's not, like, there's no dicks. There's no any of the stuff
it's kid-friendly.
It's kid-friendly. It's 100% kid-friendly, which is not a Devolver thing, maybe. I don't know. I don't understand why they're different. Or, but, yeah, Semblance was a 2D platformer where you can bump into stuff. Like, it's you're a little like gumdrop looking guy, and depending on how you smash into the platforms, you can either raise or lower them.
Mm-hmm.
They call it a Play-Doh platformer because you're not just raising the whole platform, you're like
morphing. It was very cute and accessible, and it was looked really good on the Switch.
Its biggest achievement for me was it made you feel good when you solved how to do something.
Yeah, which you could think it through.
You could think it through. It wasn't super frustrating, but it still had that aha, I figured out how to do this and I got past this thing, which is that's a difficult thing to manage in games.
What's it called again?
Semblance.
Semblance. That's a tough name to remember.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It was cool though. I was impressed.
And then we saw Black Future 88,
mm-hmm.
another indie game there. This one, why don't you describe this one?
It is a very difficult retro future styled shooter.
2D
shooter.
Roguelike. With
procedural.
Procedural.
That's
what,
it.
Is that it?
Yeah, I think so.
There was a lot going on.
Twin stick.
Yeah,
you shot with the
twin
stick.
Yeah, twin stick, yes. There was a lot going on. There was a dash mechanic, which was very important.
This is one of those challenging retro-themed games.
Yeah, it seemed like it could be something that, like, oh, and you only have 18 minutes.
Right, the game's going to end in 18 minutes.
The whole premise is that the world is going to end in 18 minutes. And
you're going to die in 18 minutes and you have to get your revenge, I think.
Oh, is that it?
I think it was.
There was a lot going on.
Yeah.
Not that that was a bad thing. It was just like trying to, I'm sure like the developer trying to explain all of this in like a brief amount of time that somebody has to sit there and play the game is very difficult. But I thought he was smart to play it. Like, it's two-player co-op and he was playing as one of the characters.
So they don't get destroyed.
Because we would have just gotten housed over and over again, but it had fun weapons. It looked nice. I think it'll appeal to roguelike.
What was it called again? I already forgot.
Black Future 88. Got because it.
Good soundtrack too. Yes. Like a synth, you know, retro.
Yeah, it was hitting all of the indie game buttons at once.
This one looked like a Devolver game.
It did.
Okay. Thor, you want to pop in here?
All right. So Rocco had an appointment for Hyperkin. He's just like, you can just come with me. The Hyperkin's not going to care.
I'll be happy to see you, I'm sure. They'd be thrilled to see you.
They were very happy. They're like, yeah, I think we contacted you, like, you guys, like, last week or something. I'm like, all right, whatever.
I'm sure they contacted everybody last week.
But they had...
We've had some weird meetings with Hyperkin before.
Oh, okay.
Like where their sales associates were trying to meet with us, and then
I don't remember.
They thought they were setting up a meeting with somebody who was going to be buying their products, I think. Really? Is what it was. Yeah.
I don't remember this.
Yeah, so it was odd.
Oh.
It ends up the Hyperkin booth, you can pretty much just walk around and,
yep,
and
look at it. That's what happened.
Yeah. That's all that meeting is, yeah, right?
Basically. And then they showed off their Hyperkin 77, which is their version of the Atari 2600.
We saw that was last they had that last year.
Yeah, it's coming out in July now for $70.
And best of luck.
Yep. And apparently it's you can insert homebrew games with a mini micro SD card, and you don't even have to turn the system off. You can just rip out the cartridge, put the other cartridge in, and it'll just load it pretty quickly. So
cool. Anything else over there?
Not that I would recommend that for the cartridges.
Yeah. Maybe they've. Well,
maybe they've been testing it. And then they showed off their Genesis, and it was the Genesis, and they showed off their version of the Game Boy, or the Hyper Boy, I think it's called, or something.
They had that before, too, last year. It seems like they've been struggling to get some of these products out the market.
They have a audio output for it for the chiptune DJs, so that's pretty interesting. Cool. But
all
right. I had a contact. I gave them my info, and they're happy. So
sweet,
cool. Yeah, I mean, they make some decent products. Yeah, their products are kind of
hit and miss.
Yeah, they're really hit and miss.
Yeah, I was telling them about how people really like that Pupper Switch controller attached Switch grip or whatever.
It's cute.
He's like, oh, we're coming out with a kitten version. It's like, all right, cool.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah.
Then we went to Gearbox, and we saw Project 1v1, I think is what it's called now.
That's the code name.
Code name, mm-hmm. Project 1v1, which is exactly what it sounds like. It's a first-person shooter, one versus one, Quake style.
Very much Quake style. and that's it. And basically, you play one versus one.
But then there's a card, like deck-building aspect. That's how you put in your skills and your weapons.
Right. That's so how you customize your character.
And you get those as loot based upon how you play in the game. But I mean, it's hard to convey that in a short demo because you're not like excited to get new cards or anything.
Right, you have all the cards.
You already have all the cards.
Yeah, so we did that. I mean, it was interesting, but I
think
they're
still figuring out how to structure it all.
And because how to make it more interesting.
Right now, the shooting, that's all fine if they made a Quake-style game. But since it's 1v1, the person who wins is the king of the hill, and he stays on. And then all the people in the queue behind him then get to play him. But the other players just get to watch that.
They're waiting.
They're waiting to play, so they get to watch that.
It seems...
And I don't know if that's the right direction. Maybe have the other players playing
Doing something. And then maybe that the other match is on a big screen inside the game that you're playing.
Something.
So you could watch it, but also screw around, not just watching a video.
Right. Like, I mean, you can screw around with your gear and your cards and all that stuff. Because we played against each other. You beat me. Then you were playing against another person in the room while I was... watching.
Right.
So I flipped through everything, and that only took me like a couple minutes, and then I...
Still watching.
Right. And you can like fly around inside the map or whatever too, as the people are playing, like just camera-wise.
Yeah. They'll probably figure that out.
They need to figure that out. Yeah. Then we played Tomb Raider.
Mm-hmm.
We played the PC version of that.
4K?
Yes. That's going to be a really good game. Of course, it's building on the last one. Like, it's very similar.
there are some new mechanics in there. You can now rappel down from when you're hanging on with your pickaxe. So you can then attach a rope to that and rappel down. There's some new stealth. You can like be up against bushes now instead of just down inside grass. Little things from what we played. It was good. Solved a puzzle, killed some dudes.
Shot arrows.
It had all the iconic things. There's not a lot of surprises with it from what we saw, but
okay.
Seemed solid. Then we went and saw Bionic and My Arcade,
yeah.
They're both of those things.
There right? are so many gaming accessory companies that like I didn't know existed and that seem to be
thriving.
Like established, like a big staff there, big booth. Like how are these companies all sustaining themselves?
I mean, we've heard of My Arcade because
yes, I know My Arcade.
They're out there, they're in Walmart, they're in Target, they're established. And we'll talk about them first, I guess.
Sure.
They're the ones that make the little like Dig Dug arcade machines, and they had some new their Namco Bandai stuff that's coming.
How
out
about
now.
Some of this on Walmart clearance for $5?
Yeah, yeah. They're an established it's out there. They had some interesting things coming. They have a Famicom to NES adapter, which is interesting because you stick the Famicom cart down inside what basically is the exact shape of an NES cart. And then it's $15 and you can play it on your NES. They have an SNES one as well, but that one's not as novel because mm-hmm. it's just what you would expect. It's you stick the Super Famicom cart inside of or on top of a little dongle that goes down inside the Super Nintendo. They have a Super Arcade thing, kind of the 10-inch.
Yep.
Which is bigger than their other little arcades, which actually runs the arcade versions of the games instead of the NES ROMs.
There are so many of those around.
There,
all around the show floor. Yeah. I saw the SNK one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they must all be doing very well. Oh, yeah. So
that one was $100.
That one was $100. 20 games on it. 20 games. There's probably a market for it. I mean, yeah. Set it on top of your bar at home and
have fun.
Yep. And then that was everything at My Arcade for the most part, right?
Yep.
Then the same company, maybe? I think so.
It must be.
The same employees were working both sides of the booth. So Bionic.
Is an accessory, gaming accessory.
Bionik.
Yeah.
I was thinking of Bionicle, the lady thing.
No.
It's a
peripheral company.
Yeah, they make everything. Controllers, batteries.
Yeah, the thing that interested me there was something called Lynx,
mm-hmm.
which was a cable for the Switch that was just straight out to your TV.
No dock required.
No dock required. So, and through the USB out to your HDMI.
Yeah.
Which is a good idea.
Sure.
I'm sure there's other cables that are doing it as well, but yeah. I think that was the most interesting thing,
yeah,
though, right?
I think
like
so. They have controllers,
and yeah, they make all the things that you would expect.
Yep.
We went to Lenovo and saw their line of
Legion
computers.
They look nice.
They do. They have something called the Gaming Cube.
The Gaming Cube. It's a PC.
Do they have an Xing box?
Yeah, that's a good name for one of these things.
For a game machine.
For a gaming machine, yeah.
How about Z-Box?
Right. They had the playing station.
playing game station.
But
they look those like some high end.
They look like some high end PC. Yeah. It was interesting. They were only putting 1060s in them.
In the high end.
The high end ones.
Oh, in the PC, in the desktops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, you can stick whatever you want in there after the fact.
I'm sure. They had fancy laptops with LED or colored cube caps.
I mean,
Corsair's system.
they look cool.
Yeah. I'm sure it's fancy.
I'm sure it is too. Anything else from you, Thor?
So I was with Mega 64 and we ran into Tommy Tallarico.
Nice.
And we talked for about 30 minutes about the future of Intellivision.
Wow. That's right. I forgot about that.
How could you forget it?
I was one of the first 100,000 people to sign up for their mailing list.
Oh, I was really? Too.
You can probably, everyone else can probably still be. So what did you learn?
Tommy told me all of his secrets, so I'm under a non-disclosure agreement.
So we'll learn.
Right. You'll learn, but no, you won't learn. No, but he has some fucking exciting shit in the pipeline.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, that was cool. And then I went to Annapurna, and I played Ashen. And
okay, I played that.
Yeah,
I didn't realize that was their game.
Yeah, okay. It's their game. That was interesting. And he's like, "What do you know about the game?" I'm like, "Well, it comes out the same. You can play it on Game Pass first day." He's like, "That's right." And I'm like, "Yes, cheap ass gamer."
Yeah, I played that last year and this year.
Yeah, and it was cool. It was I like the concept where you're on a phoenix type creature that is coming alive again or whatever. So yeah.
I see. I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then I played Wadum right next to the crater.
We heard about that game earlier today.
What's it called?
Wadum.
Wow. Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, from the creator of Katamari Damacy. Uh-huh. So I was sitting there playing with him, and he was interesting because, like, he was like, "You look tired," and he was just like,
he was commenting on you?
Yeah.
How's the game? Because I love Katamari.
Yeah, it's interesting.
What are you doing?
Is it a game? Like.
Yeah, you progress and stuff. Like, you know, you figure out how to... The trick is to figure out how to get the game to actually progress. So, like, you hold hands, and then you make your hat explode, and then you...
Mm-hmm. As one would.
And then a nose shows up, and you smell the ground, and then and then an acorn shows up, and you plant yourself in the ground, and you become a tree. And then the tree eats the mare, and the mare becomes an apple, and then lips show up.
How can you even remember this?
And then lips show up, and it eats the mare, who's an apple, and then the mare turns into shit. And I said, "Can you eat the shit?" And he's like, "Of course you can't eat the shit. The tree eats the shit."
Okay. This is the Japanese guy telling you this, or
and he has a show tonight, so I was like, "Hey, can you like draw a little doodle on your card, and then I can and then do a giveaway and then promote your show, which has free tickets to your show?" He's just like, "Are you a journalist? What's going on?" And I was just like, "Well, your show is going to get promoted." And he's like, "How many Twitter followers do you have?" I'm like, 207,000. He's like, "Oh, that's a lot." I'm like, yes, yeah.
You're right. So did he do it?
No. Yeah, he did.
He did?
It's on CAG right now.
Oh, wow. Shit.
So, yeah.
Getting shit done.
Yeah, getting shit done.
All right. What did we get done?
We saw Dying Light 2.
Dying Light 2, yep.
We had a mini haunted house experience.
Yeah, we walked down like a little hallway, and then there were some zombies. The same zombies that you see walking around.
Yeah. Today is zombie day for cheap ass camera, huh?
We're all zombie day. I think every day seems to be zombie day. we do that, and then we sat down and we watched like about a 30-minute playthrough.
Mm-hmm. And it was the same as what was. It was similar. Was it Microsoft? I was trying to remember.
Yeah,
it was
Xbox.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It was a extended version of mm-hmm. that. So they were playing it in real time, and it was all daytime stuff that they showed us. They didn't show us any of the zombie nighttime stuff.
It looks real good.
It does. And the whole thing about your world changing based upon your decisions and what you do is interesting, because when the co-op portion comes across and people come to your game, your world could potentially look different than what theirs is.
It sounded like it, yeah.
Which is
fun.
That's a cool thing to do for a game that is built around co-op. It makes it so you have more reason to play.
To do it.
Yeah, like a reason to go into somebody else's game rather than playing your game.
Right. Yep.
So.
Yeah, I was pretty impressed. The parkour looks more parkour-y in this one.
Yeah, they added a whole bunch of different ways to get around and everything. So that looked cool. Then we saw the new Sonic Team Racing.
Sonic Team Racing, Thor.
Cool.
We took a picture of Shipwreck in the car.
I did. I got in the Sonic car. Yeah. Emmeline wanted to, was very excited about the new Sonic game, so she wanted to see a picture. And
look, I'm in the game.
Great. it handled very well. It's got an interesting mechanic where you're on a team of three racers. So I was playing as Sonic, and Tails and Knuckles were on my team. And as they pick up power-ups, they can you can share them with them, and they can share theirs with you. So it's something. I mean, what can you add to these kart racing games at this point? But I think it'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last thing we saw was the Marseille M cable.
Right. This is an interesting product. This is an upscaler for, well, they have two versions. They have there's a gaming version and a cinema version. But what they do is the cable actually does the upscaling. It's got like a really advanced upscaler. And to demonstrate it, they showed us, they had two identical TVs, and they had a copy of everybody's favorite movie and cinematic reference standard, Justice League.
What?
They had a Justice League 4K UHD disc, mm-hmm. and they had a Justice League Blu-ray, and they on playing on two separate TVs at the same time. Yep. And
what is this, the exact same TV?
It was the exact same TV, same brand TV. And you could see right away that one definitely looked better than the other. And it was the Blu-ray that looked better. It looked, the colors looked better. And it looked just looked sharper. Everything just popped off. It reminded me of the difference when I went to my dad's house and he had bought that fancy OLED TV. Mm-hmm. It just, like, everything popped off, and I felt that my TV was garbage after. So they showed us that, and that was, like, that was very impressive. And then the guy's like, well, let me show you on the gaming side. And they had an Xbox 360 with Halo 3.
Yes.
Loaded up and just showed it for a little bit. And then he popped it up with the M cable, and it has like anti-aliasing built in.
It's got really good anti-aliasing. It takes away
the jaggies.
It's I mean,
but wonder what happens if you like plug it into an NES Classic or something.
We can try it because we got samples.
We got samples, and so, we're gonna get more to give away. It was really impressive, I gotta say. And the gaming cable, you know, it's for gaming, so it's low latency. It's not gonna affect, you know, there's no controller lag or anything like that.
What happens if you have the movie version, but you play games with the movie version?
So it still works, and it still makes it. I asked the same question. That's okay. A great question. It still will improve it, but not at the level as if you had the dedicated product. Okay. And I said, well, you got to make one that does both.
Yeah.
And it sounds like that they're. Hopefully, these are well received, and they can have other products. This is like a $100 product?
Yeah, it's around a $100 product, which in the scheme of artisanal cables that do scaling,
fine.
That's cheap. It's
that
pretty
GameCube
cheap.
GameCube one was $150.
That was just an HDMI adapter. But if you were to look at something along the lines of like a FrameMeister or something like that.
Hey, what happens if you use the HDMI adapter and the cord?
It should work fine. They also said that if you are take like 480p or 720p content, it will upscale it to 1080p.
Oh, okay, cool.
So I got one for Wombat because he's got that 1080p TV at home and been thinking about upgrading it.
Yeah.
This may make a noticeable difference.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. I'm gonna try it out with a bunch of stuff when I get home.
Yeah.
But yeah, I am interested to see how this all works with my setup and everything because I have a pretty complex mess of wires.
It'll be interesting, and you can really like test it out on each system.
Yeah, it's good. It seems like a good. This isn't a $100 cable that is like a monster cable. Like,
right.
There's actually stuff.
It's less. Going don't on. Think of it as a cable. Think of it as an upscaler But obviously it has to get plugged into something, so there's a cable on it. That's called M cable. All right. Is that it?
I got one more. All right, I played Monster Boy. I really liked Wonder Boy, and so I was like, oh, all right, go back to... I played Monster Boy in PAX South 2016, and it looks a lot better now that they've spent 2 years working on it. It looks better. I played the frog stage where you're kind of like, you're basically Yoshi, but you use your tongue to like grapple things and swing from things, and... You know, there's a jump block, and you eat the jump block and spit it out, and then in a new location, then you can go up, and then you can eat bombs and spit the bombs back, you know, things like that. It was pretty fun. And that was it.
Cool. Busy day. Well, tonight we're going to go to this, Ship and I are going to go to this indie mix? Indie something?
Yes.
Some indie showcase.
Yep.
Which we go to every year. And... Thor's gonna not go there and have go to his one of his favorite restaurants in LA. It's a pretty cool spot.
Yeah.
So yeah, tune in tomorrow. We'll have more. Peace.